This time on episode 239 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we discuss Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode option 2, Marvel News Roundup, and your feedback.
I'm Kier.
And I'm Alyssa from In Defense Of, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts and guests.
Be sure to check out all the other podcasts available at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3...
2...
1...
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director SP.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. This show is recorded on Sunday, April 29th, 2018, live from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. studios and broadcast galactic-wide via www.geeks.live. Ladies, happy National Zipper Day!
I don't have any zippers on right now.
Neither do I. I'm still in PJs.
Me too.
I have sweatpants, so no zipper for me either.
I have jeans on, so I guess I'm the only one here with a zipper.
Yay,
you are the only one celebrating.
Look who's having brunch with the queen.
Zippers are an important part of modern life, so thank you very much for giving us. I mean, we have them on our backpacks, on our, well, man satchels. I was going to say purses, too, but didn't want to be labeled as some guy that carries a purse.
Hey, Terry Crews carries a purse. Call a purse a purse.
I carry a case with my drone in it. That has a zipper on it.
You and your drones.
You know what I keep forgetting to get? I have a bow and a bunch of arrows, and I keep meaning to get a duffel bag to carry them around, and I keep forgetting. So
like
I need to do that.
Quiver for your quiver?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So thank you, everybody, for regaling the zipper stories, and we're just going to move on with the podcast. Now, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Defender series over on Netflix, Legion on FX, possibly, if we ever actually get around to it, The Gifted on Fox, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, like Avengers Infinity War, and the Marvel Comic Universe in general.
Because of automated menus.
If you'd like to talk to us about automated menus, you can find us at our website, legendsofshield.com.
You can leave us a voicemail at 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871.
You don't have to use an automated menu on our Facebook page, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
You can tell us about your experiences with automated menus at our Twitter account, at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You can watch us on YouTube at youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
You can bring up our automated menu on our Amazon skill when you enable Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
All right, ladies, we have to be clear about this because at this point in time, we have all actually seen Avengers Infinity War. However, this podcast will be spoiler-free of the movie.
Yeah, we will be having a spoiler podcast immediately after this recording. But this podcast, this particular one, you can listen to without having seen the movie if you're just worried about us bringing up traumatic things. No, this is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This is the S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast right now.
Which we didn't know if there was going to be a connection or not that was worth spoilering beforehand. So we actually had to see both in order to make that determination. So we are telling you now and up front, this will be an Avengers Infinity War spoiler-free podcast. Stay tuned to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode number 240 for a spoiler-filled Avengers Infinity War review. In the meantime, we're going to get on into this episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We all watched over this past weekend the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode option 2. That's what the title was. So, Haley, what's with that title?
Well, you know, Coulson's got a lot of options about what he can do with his life, and he decided to go with the second option.
Is that to live back in Tahiti?
I don't know. He didn't read off the menu for me.
Or was that maybe him staying in the framework as a high school teacher?
Him trying to confess his feelings to May and being shut down.
No, that actually really happened. So that's kind of option one. Okay. So when I first heard about this title, I thought it was going to deal with a plan. It was not. It was actually an option on a menu, but I think it could be extended to the plan that happened without anybody. So I don't even know if we can call it a plan. Anyway, Michelle, why don't you tell everybody exactly what the title really means?
Well, Coulson does pick option two in that menu, which is, you know, a nuclear apocalypse. Instead of going through the entire menu, with option three being the alien invasion. But you could also look at Talbot being the second option for the gravitonium. Plan A didn't work with Ruby. Plan B, or option two, works with Talbot.
Exactly. I'm glad we're thinking alike. It was the plan B for Talbot, which was exciting. We'll get to that in a minute. In the meantime, we're going to talk about the wonderful creative team behind this episode. When I saw this creative team, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a good one. So Haley, who directed this episode?
A familiar name for us, Kevin Tankeron, Marissa Tankeron's brother. This is the 11th time we've talked about him on the podcast because he's done a lot of episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's done an episode of Iron Fist, an episode of Inhumans. He has 25 directing credits starting in 2004, including 8 episodes of Dance Life, an episode of Fame, 18 episodes of Mortal Kombat Rebirth, episode of Supergirl, a couple of The Flash, a few of Arrow, a couple of Legends of Tomorrow. He also did an episode of 12 Monkeys, a couple episodes of Prison Break, and he is also the producer for Mortal Kombat Legacy.
Definitely a talented individual every time we get to see his name on the credits. I know it's going to be a good episode. Michelle, who wrote this episode underneath Kevin?
Well, we have two writers. Our first is Nora Zuckerman. This is our fourth discussion appearance on the podcast. Has 7 total writing credits since 2006, including 7 Desire, 1 Fringe, 7 Haven, 4 Suits, and 3 Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Is also a producer on Desire, Haven, Suits, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Our second writer is Lila Zuckerman. This is the fourth discussion appearance on the podcast. Has 5 total writing credits since 2010, including 1 Fringe, 7 Human Target, 5 Haven, 4 Suits, and 3 Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Has also been a producer on Suits, Haven, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
An incredibly talented trio for this episode, if you look at their actual episodes that they've been a part of. Now, this episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was released on Friday, the 27th of April, and this is important for two reasons, one of which it was the Friday for the NFL draft that does take a lot of viewers in the key demographic away from all shows. And then secondly, it was the Friday premiere opening weekend. It wasn't actually the premiere opening day. That would have been the night before, but it was still the premiere opening weekend for Avengers Infinity War. Despite those two odds, we maintained the same rating as we did last week with a 1.63 for this episode, option two, which is pretty steady from last week's 1.66, All Roads Lead. However, it still is this season's lowest rated episode. So I expect this episode to go up in the live plus 7, especially since people didn't know if it was going to be spoiler filled between the TV show and the movie. So I will give this a pass and expect the ratings to go up for the rest of the season. That's just my assessment. What do you ladies think?
I kind of thought this episode might be lower just from people wanting to see Avengers before seeing this next episode, not knowing if there's going to be some sort of tie-in or not. But the more I thought about it, the more I was like, the people that are still watching this show are seeing these movies opening day, opening weekend. So it probably wouldn't have a huge effect.
I think it had a minor effect, but I can't tell how high. And then also don't forget about the NFL draft, too. So that's a big thing in a lot of people's lives.
I thought the draft was on Thursday.
It continued through Friday. I watch MasterChef Junior on Fridays, and it was not on because they were still doing the draft. And I was very annoyed.
So the NFL draft, for those that don't pay attention to American football, let me explain a little bit of what happens, what it has evolved into, at least this year. Opening day for the draft is Thursday night, and that is round one. All 32 round one picks happen in that first day. Then Friday's round two, possibly three, I forget. It's not as ceremonious as the first night, but then it continues on into Saturday. So it's a whole weekend sort of thing. And judging by the party that they had in Philadelphia last year, it's really a week-long celebration. So the NFL does get a lot of traction. Don't want to push that aside with all the rest of the rankings. It does actually impact rankings. So I just needed to state that, especially since this is the season low. I think it would have been higher had it not been for those two things.
But looking at the ratings, they've been trending down for a while. So I don't know that those things maybe have as much of an effect as they would if the show were had higher ratings right now.
It's difficult to say, but that's my assessment.
And I don't think it helps having Once Upon a Time as your lead-in. I had it on just because I was lazy and didn't feel like changing the channel, and I was reading. I picked up Infinity Gauntlet and Infinity War in Comixology, by the way. There's a sale going on, just in case you're curious. And so I was sitting on the couch reading, and I'm watching, and I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. I haven't watched this show in years. So out of curiosity, I brought up Wikipedia and TV Tropes, and I was looking at Once Upon a Time's ratings, which, if you think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are kind of questionable, Once Upon a Time's are like 0.07 or 0.7. I'm sorry, 0.7.
That this season even happened has made a lot of fans angry, because they really should have ended last season. Like, they ended the story they'd been telling last season. And then this season, they were like, hey, they renewed us. Let's do it again. And it's terrible.
It's bad. I stopped watching after they did yet another magical rape sort of scenario. It's like, okay, you know what? I'm done.
I stopped watching.
Out.
I think end of season two, beginning of season three, the whole thing was like, nothing good can ever happen to Regina. And I was like, but she's my favorite character. And this is just gratuitous at this point, and I don't really like a lot of the other characters, so I just stopped.
So this is the final season for Once Upon a Time, and
yes,
I assume there are just a couple episodes of ending too, right?
Yeah, yep.
Probably.
Okay, so there's that, and then there's just a general overall viewership drop in comic book TV shows this year from previous years, if you take into account like the CW ratings. And unfortunately, if you take into account the Inhumans ratings as well. I was thinking about that, what a giant mistake that was for Disney and ABC. But I digress. So let's talk about happier things like this episode. So we often talk,
because it was such a happy episode.
Well, it was an exciting episode, at least. So we often talk about the episode in terms of the average person, and our average person that we reach out to is Michelle's mom, who is not a geek. She just likes watching the show for its action and for its content. So Michelle, has your mom actually watched this episode yet?
Yes, she did. She enjoyed it. And one of her first comments was, well, it took a nutter to get that gravitonium straight. And I'm looking at her and she just went, yeah, you know, he had all those screws loose, so makes sense. And it's like, yeah, mom, you got a point. That's a good point.
I didn't think about that. He might actually have screws in his head from that bullet wound.
Technically, yes. He was shot in the head. Presumably, he skull fractures. I don't think there would be screws, but he might actually have a portion of his skull had to be replaced. If you've ever, or if anybody you know has ever had head trauma, they have to relieve the swelling in your brain, because that's a very bad thing. Yeah, technically, yes, he
might indeed actually have screws in it. Whether they're loose or not, I don't know. We know he is a nutter and a little bit crazy.
But because I'm wondering, okay, this again, scientist me, biologist me. Once you have a traumatic head injury like that, where a portion of your brain is destroyed, he was shot in the frontal lobe, which in the front of his head, which is your frontal lobe, which is the portion of your brain that's responsible for things like impulse control, which is why he was yelling a lot, which I'm very glad they got that right, by the way. But your brain is really good at rerouting itself. There's been so many studies, so many examples of this. I'm wondering if because portions of his brain have had to rewrite themselves and reroute themselves, that's part of why he would be able to kind of handle this better. Not well, as we've seen in the previews for the next episode, but better than, say, Ruby with her perfectly functioning brain. He has those portions that are not being used. He has portions that have been repurposed.
Well, also, didn't we figure out she's probably like 17? So her brain also maybe not fully formed yet and less capable of dealing with the effects of the gravitonium.
Also true.
I was a little bit worried about his compliance programming interfacing with his gravitonium upload and what that is going to do in the future. So I was a bit surprised that it didn't rear its ugly head. Like, Ruby had issues with Franklin Hall and Ian Quinn and Creel as well. So for Talbot to be functioning as well as he is, that is an interesting thing indeed. We'll see what happens there next week. Oh, by the way, thank you very much, General Talbot, for giving me the landing beacons for the lighthouse. My drones are on the way right now.
If you would like SP's drones to come visit you, email us at...
Give me your geolocations and I'll see what I can do. So Talbot did step into the gravitonium burrito and he set the gravitonium at 100%, which is like 92%.
Well, it's 100% of the remaining gravitonium. At first, that bugged me, too. And then I remembered, wait. So it's 100% of the remaining gravitonium is what I figure.
Also, hadn't they already siphoned off a bunch to use, like, on the ship and stuff?
I think so.
And what's interesting, Simmons said that the gravitonium also refined itself.
Again, I'm thinking it's somewhat intelligent.
I keep saying that. It's hungry. It knows what it's doing.
Well, it definitely didn't have any qualms of getting into the little bank air thing that they had it contained in, or the, you know what I'm talking about? You go to a bank, the drive-through, and they had that air.
I'm so glad I wasn't the only one who thought that.
They are also used in hospitals, by the way, to transport non-destructive samples back and forth, like ones that you can shake up and that sort of thing. The hospital uses them as well, but these air transport tubes is what the gravitonium was being stored in, and the gravitonium didn't have any qualms of going back into the burrito to, which, Haley, yes, I'm calling it a burrito. You said it's more of a burrito. We agreed. It's a gravitonium burrito. And the gravitonium got itself in there even before Talbot got in there. Wasn't it? That was a little bit harsh for Talbot to shoot Simmons, but that does go with his lack of impulse control.
Well, it was with an icer.
Yeah, it was with an icer, and I think he knew what he was doing. I think.
Well,
he was fixing it.
And he did. He fixed it. He fixed it.
Because we've seen his guilt just for the past couple of episodes. He's fundamentally a good person. His methods we may not always agree with, but he's been feeling a lot of guilt for being used like this, which is, again, really upsetting. So I can see why he would think this is a good idea. But again, lack of impulse control. This is not the best solution, I think.
Probably wasn't.
Wow. When he crumpled up the space banes, every time they do that crumple effect, just ouch.
CGI is a wonderful thing. Just think of it in terms of CGI. It's not actually real. It's just CGI.
I know, but I just start to hurt sympathetically. It's very painful looking.
So the aliens were a form of marauders called the Remath, or I forget what Deke actually called them. My closed captioning spelled them as Remorath. So Remorath.
Yeah, Remorath marauders. I looked these up. They're not from the comics. So the space banes are created for the show. I kept thinking of the space banes because they have Bane's mask.
Yes.
They have Bane's mask, and between them and Peter Mensah's character's coat, I keep thinking they look like, the coat looks like the Grammaton cleric's coat from Equilibrium. I don't know if y'all have ever seen Equilibrium. It's one of my favorite movies, but the dudes who do the gun kata, like Christian Bale and Taye Diggs and Sean Bean for like the 5 minutes he's in the movie.
And then, of course, he dies, right?
Of course, but yeah. My favorite death scene of his ever. But they wear these awesome long coats, and that's all I can see when I see those the coats that they're wearing in the show.
That's weird, because all I kept saying is like, hey, they look like those guys from Mortal Kombat.
And guess who actually directed this episode? Kevin Tankeron, also of Mortal Kombat fame.
Makes sense.
Yep. So Deke actually explains these aliens, so he's a little bit useful. He's also being useful as protecting his grandparents because he wants to continue to exist. Although they went into this whole thing of that Deke was their canary in a cave. And
canary in a coal mine.
Right. So, yeah.
I don't know what either of those things are. I love Deke. He went from being a character I absolutely could not stand. Like, the second that you take him out of his home environment, and I'm like, okay, yes, he's one of my favorites now.
So, Haley, Jeff Ward may actually be available for dating, and I was thinking about this. He understands the time continuum as well as you do. You could have wonderful dinner conversations.
Okay.
So Jeff Ward, if you're actually listening to this, Haley apparently is available to date. She's on the West Coast, so, or at least close to it. So, I mean, it's doable.
Yeah.
Within driving distance. Come on.
There's an airport here. It's fine.
It's fine.
Short little hop.
So you also mentioned before Yo-Yo, and it was a very deep Yo-Yo episode. First of all, they had this fight. We haven't talked about it yet. The fight at the beginning in the control room, where this was something that the team has never really experienced outside of the whole Hydra thing, where you had the team just going at it, and you had Team Dad saying, that's enough. We're just going to go off and we're going to do our jobs, and that's it.
Every time the team bickers, my heart just hurts.
And it wasn't just the team. It was like the couples, too, because you had basically Felinda, who's there, but it wasn't there. And then you had Yo-Yo and Mac that were an issue, and that was actually pretty big because Yo-Yo killed Ruby. And first of all, was that all for nothing now because it apparently didn't matter?
Well, Ruby would have been the destroyer of worlds. Talbot is basically Graviton. I believe it's the character from the comic book.
Yeah.
So this could be something completely different. Maybe this is how the timeline's been broken, or if Quake has to fight Talbot, that could shatter the Earth. But I'm hoping Talbot being this is what breaks the time loop, because this is cool.
Yeah, her whole thing of it didn't matter was because she finds out, Yo-Yo finds out that May sent Sky to go find Sky. God, where's
Daisy.
My brain?
Daisy
to go find a cure for Coulson. And of course, Yo-Yo hasn't told anyone we need to let Coulson die. Everything changes when they don't let Coulson die. So she's like, oh, it didn't matter. So Yo-Yo is not in a good place these days. She lost her arms. She saw herself from the future with the lost arms, and she saw herself in the future die. Everything, she's feeling like she has not just the weight of the world, but the weight of an entire terrible future on her shoulders. And what she needs to do, I think, is confide in somebody and let somebody share the load. Just, again, talk
share
to Mac.
Share the load.
Talk to Mac. Talk these sort of things out. Don't be that person who's just like, I have to do it all on my own. But instead of that, we get her pushing Mac away, and she keeps saying, you look at me different, and oh, it's heartbreaking.
But she does try to tell Mac. I mean, she finally tells Coulson's like, I'm sorry, sir, you're like my family, but I gotta let you die. And she does go to Mac and she's like, I'm trying to do this for you. And Mac keeps going, look, stop talking about what could happen in the future. I'm focused in on what's now. And he's not understanding that Yo-Yo saw herself in the future and saw herself die.
Well, he was there when Yo-Yo in the future died, so he does sort of know. The thing is that he's trying to get her mind off. He's trying to help. He's helping. He thinks he's helping, but she sees it as minimizing. And what they need to do is they need to just sit down and have a good long talk. And right now it's just their method of coping is not, again, his is, okay, we saw what happened. We need to concentrate on the now. And hers is, I saw what happened. I need to concentrate on that. They're both at two very different places right now. And it's so frustrating because you know they both mean well.
And coming at it from different perspectives. And they've always had that dichotomy between the two of them. And it's just coming back up. This is not out of character for either of them. I think they've both gone on pretty well-defined paths.
And something I just realized is you'd think Yo-Yo would be the short-term person since she's the one who's always calling him Turtle Man and moves real fast. But no, right now she's the one who's being forced to take the long view. I see what you did there, writers, and I like it, even if it breaks my heart.
Then also something that we've been commenting on is the fact that Yo-Yo's arms needed to be recalibrated. And Haley, this has actually happened.
Yeah. So now Yo-Yo can run fast and use her super arms.
Which happened later. She yo-yoed as she was doing some scouting and her arms, even though I don't think she actually used them, they weren't buzzing and weren't malfunctioning. So that worked.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. So Michelle, when you are calling somewhere on the phone and you're actually needing to go through the menu, do you just pick the first one that might work or do you listen to the whole thing?
I listen to the whole thing, including when the person is like, to hear this menu again, press 9.
You don't start shouting representative into it?
Is that what you do, Haley?
I only do that if it's just speak, because it never recognizes my voice. If it's pushing the buttons, I'll listen to the whole thing. But some of them now are like, you know, for this, say 1 or say 2. That's when I'm like, representative.
Yeah, because the ones that are voice options, I get what they're trying to do, but they're so terrible.
Yep.
The voice recognition just isn't there yet.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite get that.
It's getting better, and it's getting better because of things like Cortana, Siri, and the A word, which I'm not going to say, so I'm not going to set off anybody's home device there, but it is getting better, so that's good. But yes, right now phone menus completely suck. And then after he chooses the nuclear fallout option, which I think was appropriate because, you know, they're in a shelter, so it's like fallout, right? And then he gets on the principal microphone and announces to everybody that what's happening. And oh, by the way, we might be stuck in here for the next 15 years for a technical malfunction. I wish we could have seen May's face right at that point.
You could just see Deke's heart breaking right there.
Like, and I'm stuck in here.
I hear May's eyes rolling in that scene.
You could hear May's teeth just gritting. That whole scene reminded me, you know, in Serenity, the whole, you know, we might experience some turbulence and then explode.
Yep.
But I mean, seriously, has Coulson never been on the phone with an insurance company? I've been on enough fights with insurance companies to know you always listen to the menu. Always.
He's on S.H.I.E.L.D. and they have a cleanup crew, so they don't need insurance.
I was thinking more health insurance, but...
Well, same thing. I mean, we know S.H.I.E.L.D. has his clinic. I mean, that was in that whole Mockingbird thing.
Yeah, I guess if you have Fitz and Simmons on your team, I guess you really don't need health insurance.
But you probably need insurance for Lola, though.
That's true.
Mm.
No, but then you have Mac on your team. And Mac has earned the right to touch Lola.
He has? Has that actually happened?
I thought he did.
I think that was still a thing going on. I don't know. I'm sure our listeners will correct me.
By this point, I think Mac has earned the right to touch Lola.
All right. So, Haley, now this spaceship coming in and the lighthouse in full nuclear lockdown mode and the spaceship cutting off River's End and the lighthouse from the rest of the world this week, I think that was a tad bit convenient, just saying.
Well, so this is not a spoiler, but Daisy did say, or no, the guy Daisy was talking to did say...
Candyman.
yeah, you know, that stuff going on in New York. And she was like, yeah, I don't watch the news. And that was the only reference we got to anything else that might be happening in the world right now.
We also did see a little bit of alien mind reader tech. Is that what I saw? Just to make sure, we saw mind reading technology in the palm of his head, kind of like the ghoul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure if that was the precursor to the chips that they had in them later on the lighthouse.
Oh, yeah. Could be.
Or if it was based on the same technology, maybe, but I didn't actually like rewind to double check or anything.
So sadly, we don't get Mockingbird back looking out for Polly and Robin. We get the Candyman looking out for him. And judging by what's happened, we're going to see Robin again. I don't know if we're going to see Polly again. And we're probably going to see the Candyman again. And I'm surprised at the amount of trust that they're putting in Candyman for all this, too, by the way.
Well, Mac trusts him, and we know Mac's judgment's pretty sound.
Okay.
Just every time I see Jake Busey, I just get the urge to watch Starship Troopers.
And who doesn't? I'm going to go watch it right now. No, we got a couple more podcasts to do. At the end, though, talking about Daisy and her separate mission, she finds out that the centipede tech back from season one, and she's got to dig up some sort of source for whatever makes it go.
So first, we get a reference to, I'm blanking out on the name right now, but Bill Paxton's character, which Garrett, R.I.P. Bill Paxton. They're saying, okay, there's all this stuff in there, but there was a healing thing which we couldn't trace, and all we got was a reference to a place, and she looks at it, and she's like, that's not a place. And at that moment, I was like, oh no, it was her mom. And then, of course, the stinger of the episode, the shawarma, we see a grave, and we see Daisy with a shovel, and Daisy, hardcore, is digging up her mom's grave.
I don't know that. I'd be like, it's not going to happen.
It's a good thing they weren't close.
This season, more than any other, has made me feel the need to rewatch the rest of the series.
Right? It's just high. Again, it's hashtag they're all connected, but it's all connected, but just in terms of this show.
Yeah, I question how connected it's actually going to be, and we'll talk about that next episode. All right. That's the points that I have laid out for the episode. So we'll just go around the horn for last shots. Haley, do you have anything else that you'd like to talk about in this episode?
I just think Coulson's still really crazy and now he has superpowers.
You mean Coulson
or Talbot?
Or not Coulson, Talbot. Yes. Sorry. Wrong guy.
Well, then it would be like you getting superpowers.
No, I'm not crazy. I'm just mad with power.
Okay. All right. Michelle, what do you think?
I think it's interesting that the solid couple are Fitzsimmons, considering Fitz is quote unquote a supervillain. Like, they're the best relationship that's going on right now.
Well, that's because they talk.
They use their words.
They communicate. Communication is the key in any relationship.
Although they did break their promise not to leave each other's side.
There is that.
But they're also invincible right now, remember?
Oh, Deke was so upset with that.
Well, there was that moment where he was like, oh my goodness, we shouldn't have separated.
She's like, but is Deke still there?
Yeah, that
then
was
you're
great.
Fine. And the look on Deke's face.
Well, Fitz, when he's like looking down at the walkie-talkie, he slowly looks up and he's like, where is he?
Don't call me Gramps ever again.
It's Bobo.
Nana
Come on.
And Bobo.
Maybe that's why he started calling him Bobo, because he was told don't call him Gramps.
Well, he started calling him Nana and Bobo because that's what he was told to call him in the future, so.
Yeah, because they got used to him calling them that in the present.
Yeah, like he started calling them that as a joke, and then they just got used to it.
And then when little Deke was born, they were like, yeah, we're Nana and Bobo. Because it's a loop.
But the loop has to be broken.
So they're no longer going to be Nana and Bobo. They're going to be Banna and No-No.
No.
It doesn't have the same ring.
No. All right, Lauren, what else do you have for this episode?
The preview for next week with Talbot being all Neil before Zod has me worried.
The evil goatee and everything.
Yeah. The heroic stash is gone, and now he has an evil goatee. And he has the Gravitron costume, and
Yeah, he looks super evil.
So if we had to pick an MVP for this season in terms of acting, who would you choose?
Oh, that's hard.
Because Adrian Pasdar has been pretty good, but I don't know if we'd want to give it to him.
It's between him and Yo-Yo.
I feel like most improved goes to his facial hair.
It's not just the mustache anymore, kids.
It's like character growth, but it's just facial hair growth.
Yeah, Yo-Yo has really stepped up this season.
So good. So good.
Like, she went from being the character that I was sure they were going to kill, but now she's, like, a part of the team, really.
And she's this, like, really pivotal part right now because she's the one that's so sure that she's going to be the one to have to change everything. She's become this huge emotional pivot. Just so good.
Pivot! Sorry, Friends reference. Michelle, if you had to choose an MVP for the season, because Haley's with the hair, Talbot's hair, and Lauren says Yo-Yo, but what about you?
Fitz, because he's had to go through so much thinking he was okay, and then going through the break, and now, that's my choice.
I'll go Jeff Ward as Deke, just for comic relief purposes. I mean, Lemons, come on, Lemons. So that's it for this episode. Next time we talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which will be next week, we will talk The One Who Will Save Us All. It's season 5, episode 20. It is the 108th episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I believe we just have three hours left, including next week.
We're so close.
Yep.
Yeah.
This has me anxious.
Yep. And there's been no renewal talk. And quite honestly, we'll talk about that later in the next episode, and then we'll come back and talk about it in the next episode that we talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So in the meantime, if you are looking for more great geeky content, Lauren, we have a treat for you, don't we?
We do. We have so many shows at the Gonna Geek Network, including Digital Soup. In episode 71 of Digital Soup, Losing Titans, Deadpool 2, and Carbon Fiber Bodybuilding, this week it's a bit of a sad start as we lost a number of big names. Netflix has decided some movies are just too scary to finish. We have a special interview with the creator of Deontay Box and much more. Plus, Jason in rare form. You won't want to miss this one. That's Digital Soup on the Gonna Geek Network.
Digital Soup episode 71. Meantime, we're going to move on into some news.
First up, we've got some news about something happening next week. It is the much-beloved Free Comic Book Day.
Yes!
For those that don't know, every year, the comic book companies get together and they give out free comic books. And it's the first Saturday in May. So if you haven't found your local comic book store, or you might not have one near you, you might want to plan to get to one and check out all the great free comics that are coming out next week. I'm definitely planning to go to my usual comic book store. They were telling me about it this week and telling me about all the great things. They actually have the comics now. I didn't realize that they get the comics at least 2 weeks in advance because they have to get all the individual bags together. So mm-hmm. They were saying, yeah, you're going to like a few of the ones that are coming out. So I'm like, ooh, I can't wait.
Yep. I'm looking at the list right now. I've made my list of what I want. I really want the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers comic, which if you are not reading is so good. If you were a big fan of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers back in the 90s, so good. Invader Zim looks fun. There's some Marvel ones that are coming out that look fun. Spider-Man, Captain America, Legend of Korra. I'm so happy about this. Bob's Burgers looks fun. There's like a Strangers in Paradise one that looks fun. The Tick. Always love The Tick. Which, by the way, if you have Amazon Prime, the second half of the first season of The Tick is out. So, yeah, there's pretty much a comic for every taste. If you have kids, there's a bunch that are suitable for young readers. If you're a bit older, there's some that are very much not for kids. So look at the website, which is freecomicbookday.com. Get your list ready. Find out what the limit is at your comic book store. And find out after what time they will start, you can come back and get more comics, because that usually happens.
So now that we all have plans for next weekend, Marvel is reportedly meeting with directors for the upcoming Black Widow movie.
Yeah, so we've been talking about this for a while, how there should be a Black Widow movie, and somebody would be like, oh yeah, there should be, but nothing ever happens. And according, okay, this is a Collider article linking to the Hollywood Reporter. The studio has finally been meeting with a bunch of directors, and they're all female, including Denise Gamze, I'm going to mispronounce this, Erguven, who's directed the Turkish movie Mustang, Chloe Zhao, who's directed The Rider, Ama Asante, who's directed A United Kingdom, also directed the movie Belle, which is really good. And there's other names in consideration, Maggie Betts, who directed Novi Tiate, and Angela Robinson, who directed Professor Marston and The Wonder Woman, which is a great movie. And the fact that they're getting all female directors really excites me. The fact that they're looking at directors at all for a Black Widow movie really excites me. So keep up the good work there. Give us our Black Widow movie.
It was interesting that when I was looking at Kevin Feige's producer credits, that he is listed in there as a producer for the Black Widow movie on IMDb. Of course, there's nothing else in there other than Scarlett Johansson as the Black Widow, but it's interesting that IMDb actually has a page for a Black Widow movie.
Well, anytime rumors start about a movie, you'll get an IMDb page so people can put trivia in there.
Okay. Yeah, there was, oh God, for the longest time before the Game of Thrones series came out, somebody who was obsessed with Alyssa Milano had her listed as, was it Star-Lord? I don't know. But had her listed as Catelyn Stark on the page for the series for years. Years. I'm talking since I was in college.
She would have been way too young for the role then.
Just, yeah, it's, you can put anything on IMDb.
Yep. So next up, from the Fox side of Marvel, we've got another Venom trailer.
Yep. Last time we had a teaser, this time we have more of a full trailer. Have any of y'all seen it yet?
Yep. I've even seen the 1 hour loop of the Venom scene. There is actually, it's just like 15 seconds of, you know, the Venom face coming up with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 1 hour loop of that.
Yeah, we will talk about that in a second. So this trailer actually has me a bit more excited for the movie. At first I was just like, oh, okay, Venom, all right. The whole thing with him talking to the suit has me a bit more excited. Also, I'm here for Riz Ahmed.
So the other thing that Lauren said we would talk about is Tumblr's obsession with Venom's tongue.
Is it Tumblr's obsession or Lauren's obsession?
Lauren is part of Tumblr.
No, it is 100% not my obsession. That thing looks like bacon. It looks like uncooked bacon.
Does it look like Kevin Bacon?
No.
Okay.
So this was from Polygon. The tongue sliding out of Venom's mouth has immediately captivated Tumblr. People began pointing out that Venom's appearance came across as sexual. And this is reminding me of when everybody on Tumblr was horny for Pennywise from It.
What?
There's a thing. Oh, yeah, no, this was a thing. This was a thing. There are terms that I wish that I never knew. So there's the thing. It's the evolution of teratophilia, which literally means monster love. It's an attraction to monsters or deformed or monstrous people. Tumblr's instant reaction to Venom's tongue is part of a wider subreddit that became prominent between 2010 and 2013, often referred to as monster erotica. So you remember the whole dinosaur erotica thing that happened around then? There was like a whole series of Taken by the T-Rex and all that, and In Love with Bigfoot, things like that. Which is actually brought up in the story. So this whole article is about the obsession with monster erotica, which is, you know, interesting from a psychological perspective. 100% not my thing. Your kink is not my kink, and that's okay. I don't get the Venom tongue thing. I don't get the Pennywise thing. Again, I think the tongue looks like wet bacon. It's gross, but
I get the tongue thing because of tentacle porn.
which is also not a thing I get.
I know. Tentacle porn. Oh, God. Yeah, that's another thing I wish you cannot unsee.
I mean, I've been on the internet for a long time. I have seen some things. I have seen many things. This is not the weirdest thing I have seen.
Yeah, it's not like I went out looking for tentacle porn. I was just watching a movie and then there was something that happened. Sure. And I'm like, what? Oh my God, this is a thing.
Okay, fun story about tentacle porn. So when I was in college, there was an artist who worked for our college paper who had a history of drawing very, very eroticized pictures of women. And every few weeks, somebody would come in and complain about him. And one day, it's an article about, you know, are we too addicted to technology? This is back in like 2005, 2006, by the way. The picture that he drew that accompanied the article, we're looking at, we're like, did he just get tentacle porn into our college paper? It's a person wrapped up in like USB cords and electrical cords. And we're like, 100% the editor did not know what they were looking at. It was pretty great. I wonder what he's up to these days.
See, when you guys are talking about Penny, I'm thinking about Lacey Chabert from Lost in Space. And now she's on the Hallmark channel.
That is not Pennywise. That is different.
I know, but you guys are talking about Penny, and that's the Penny that comes to mind. Not the Penny from Big Bang Theory either. Lacey.
Look, a Penny.
That too.
So now that we've talked about tentacle porn, let's swing back over to Disney, where Kevin Feige...
Which you will not find technical porn on Disney. It's not going to happen.
I mean, you probably could, because people can get all sorts of messed... I used to have a copy of the Little Mermaid VHS tape with the penis on the cover.
I still have it. It's in the basement.
Yeah, we cleared out a bunch of stuff from our apartment, and I ended up getting rid of a bunch of VHS tapes. Yeah,
I'm looking over at your corner, Lauren, and I don't see the big pile of DVDs that used to be over there.
We moved it.
Moved it off camera.
Pretty much.
But Kevin Feige is confirming that there is an Eternals movie in development.
So, the Eternals is another one of the kind of lesser-known Marvel groups, sort of like the Guardians of the Galaxy used to be. Eternals is sort of like the cosmic, sort of cosmic heroes. They're celestials. They are, I mean, think of Star-Lord's dad in Guardians of the Galaxy. They're celestials. So multiple screenwriters have taken meetings and they have been asked to come up with a story that focuses on the female Eternal known as Cersei, which is spelled S-E-R-S-I. So not like the Game of Thrones character. Cersei can manipulate cosmic energy to grant herself virtual immortality, invulnerability, and to reshape the molecules of other people or objects. So we'll see if this happens. Let's hope they come up with a good story if this happens. We'll see. This seems to be continuing the theme of Marvel deciding to do more of the space-themed and cosmic-themed stuff that they've been doing in the past few years.
Well, they've got to kind of branch out, because otherwise, you know, the comic book movies all start seeing very similar and people get comic book fatigue. So having some space adventures helps with that.
Cough, cough, James Cameron.
No, we had a whole segment about James Cameron last podcast. We're not going to go down that road again, especially since, well, he's not very productive, as we discussed. Anyway, so with that, we've done with news for the week and we're going to move on into the feedback.
Yes, we have a lot of people who interact with us, and sometimes we have people who share articles. And our first one is actually, it's technically for me because I run the Starly Tribune social media account. So I shared something with us. What did I share?
It was Kevin Feige explains Namor's complicated movie rights situation. And the tweet was, make it happen, Feige. I want to see him in the trunks. So this is from CBR.com, Comic Book Resources. And when asked by IGN if it's still a tricky situation, he said, it is. I think there's a way to probably figure it out. but it's not as clean or clear as the majority of the other characters. So Namor's distribution rights are sold to Universal back in the 90s when Marvel was facing bankruptcy. According to Feige, the Namor contracts still involve other parties. So I don't know if Universal still has them or if they've sold off parts of the rights, because he said, let's put it this way, there are entanglements that make it less easy. Come on, give us a hot guy in man panties. Come on, you cowards.
I already told you I'd volunteer.
Okay, moving on. We heard from Adana Girl,
who changed her name to Pirate Angel. We will discuss that in the next episode. But she retweeted Kyle Buchanan and said, listen up, a-holes. Kyle Buchanan said, injuries, surgeries, pneumonia, and push-ups. I asked the Russo brothers how they survived making Avengers Infinity War and its sequel back-to-back. It's an article from Vulture.com. It's an interview with Joe and Anthony Russo. It's a really interesting interview, just kind of, okay, so you basically made two movies back-to-back. This sounds stressful. What did you do? And they basically said, so we're a team. This means that somebody can hand it off. And one of them, who was it? Oh, Anthony Russo had surgery in between the movies. And also they had 2 weeks in between the two movies, a whole 2 weeks break. And they did something called a push-up challenge, where every half hour you drop and do a certain number of push-ups. We started adapting that to all sorts of different exercises, and the cast would join in too. And apparently it had a really positive impact on people's energy level. Also, after Anthony Russo's surgery, he got pneumonia. It's just this really interesting thing about trying to keep your energy up on a long project.
Or on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, if I was any good at push-ups, I would try that. Unfortunately, I herniated my back on trying a push-up once when I was in high school, and that was how I initially started all my spinal injuries. And also, my wrist has a thing wrong with it, so I can't bend it back very far, and I can't support my own weight on it. So push-ups are out for me, so I need to find something else to do. Yeah, there was your advice from the Russo brothers, push-ups.
And we heard from another friend of the show, at Mr. Paracletes.
So Mr. Paracletes said in response to the show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., not gonna lie, I always figured he had Graviton's likeness, but never figured he would actually become him. Cool.
There you go. You got something that was an unexpected surprise.
We also have some YouTube feedback.
They're watching.
They are. Yeah,
they are.
What'd they say, Lauren? What'd they say?
So first off, from our latest released episode, All Roads Lead, Kyle William at Living... Well, not at, this isn't Twitter, Livingston 1 said, yes, we saw the Gravitonium in Zephyr 1 with a link to seeing the Gravitonium in Zephyr 1. So there's an answer to that. And then I think it's more like 70-30 of revenge in response to Yo-Yo. Yo-Yo knows what herself told her. You need to let Coulson die to save the world. Revenge clouded her judgment.
Are we talking revenge like the TV show Revenge? Because I was all into that.
I know you were. Yeah, we all know about SP and Agent 13, who starred in Revenge. We also have from Narriantics 4, in response to The Honeymoon, I'm with SP, Piper is still suspect. I disagree.
I also disagree.
I like Piper.
So I have to admit, this episode kind of swayed me a little bit away from that. Piper was seen in this episode, although not featured. She did have a couple of dialogue moments in a couple of scenes. But yeah, I think we're slowly moving past that. But it's still on my mind. It's still there. I mean, she could still turn around and stab him in the back. You never know.
I very strongly disagree with everything you're saying right now.
Yeah, I know. We've had this disagreement before. I'm just saying, I'm slowly starting to say we might be past it.
It's all good with her.
Just like Emily Van Camp. It's all good with her.
Dear listener, all of us just eye rolled at SP, just so you know.
Yeah, for people not watching the video.
And if you want to check those eye rolls out, go to geeks.live when we stream live on Sundays at 1 p.m. Eastern. But with that, we are going to take our Gravitonium and we're going to Gravitonium lift this one out. It's been a fun 5 seasons so far. Hopefully we'll get some more. I think Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. will continue after that, but I just want to thank all of our subscribers and our listeners and our viewers. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast, now's the time to do so on your podcatcher app that you're using or YouTube. We would love to have you stick around for our continuing podcast broadcasts.
And thank you to everybody who gets a hold of us during the week. We love it when you send us stuff. We love it when you just talk to us. It makes us feel special. Seriously, thank you so much. We love you guys. Thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you to everybody that's listening. Thank you to everybody that sends us feedback of any kind, when you send us news links. Anytime you talk to us, we really love it because then we know that you like us.
Yeah, so we like hearing from everyone, whether you are a comic book geek or just a general fan of the show. Go ahead, tweet us, leave us a voicemail. We would love it.
Indeed. So don't forget, next weekend is Free Comic Book Day. Go find your nearest or your favorite comic book store. Catch some of those free comics. So until next time, which we're going to talk Avengers Infinity War, I'm Director SP.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod, found at incompetech.com and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
Should we, listener feedback, should we include stuff that friends who are listeners DM'd us after the movie and stuff?
We could save that for the next podcast.
Yeah,
that's fine. Because we'll be spoiling the entire thing then.
Yes. Completely.
We probably need to keep this one spoiler free though.
I figured we would. I figured we'd just be like, so we saw the thing, and if you want to listen to it, we'll be doing a whole podcast about it. And then for the next one, Jesus!
Yeah. Exactly. Hi, Haley.
Hello. I'm very sunburned.
What were you doing out in the sun?
Hanging out by a pool.
Why would you do that?
Very sunburned. Other people wanted to.
Why would you be out in the sun? God.
I know. It was a terrible decision.
Yeah. Ugh. I can't say anything. I went for a walk. God, I guess it was last week, 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. I just went for a walk around my apartment complex and my shoulders got sunburned and I was like, I'm weak. Oh God, this is great. Apparently on set, Benedict Cumberbatch initially tried to ignore Tom Holland, thinking he was yet another fan of his and was not initially aware that he was a co-star.
That's the button I forgot to push.
Oh, that makes sense now.
I forgot to push the two.
Yeah, okay.
Sense. I'm like, there should be two lights. I forgot.
There
this
are
is my first time.
Two lights. Yeah. Broadcast has been successfully terminated.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2018.